This podcast is supported by FedEx.
FedEx offers picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday.
See the FedEx service guide for delivery information.
FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business.
Absolutely, positively, FedEx. Sponsorship for this show comes from SoFi Invest. Alternative investments are now available on SoFi. Unlock the potential to build and protect your wealth with alts, including real estate, venture capital, pre-IPO unicorns, and more at SoFi.com/tboy.
Alternative investment funds have unique risks, including the risk of loss, may charge high fees, can be illiquid, and aren't suitable for all investors. Investors should carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, expenses, and important information contained in a fund's prospectus prior to investing. SoFi Securities LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
Today's show is sponsored by Acura.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura.
And now it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet.
Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own.
Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And this is Snacks Daily. Welcome back. It is Monday, January 11th.
Let's get this out of the way. Last month in the United States, the number of jobs shrank for the first time in 8 months.
2021, what are you doing, Jack?
Let's make this our best one yet, TBOY.
For our first story, BarkBox, the birch box for your dachshund, is going public via a SPAC.
Jack, fun fact here. Your dog, they can get subscripturation. This can happen to canines.
Unless your dog is stealing the password from some other dog.
Right, because your dog's not a cat. Jack, second story, what do we got?
Bud Light Seltzer Lemonade Peach. That is actually the latest drink from Anheuser-Busch.
Funny thing we noticed, Snackers, this is the same strategy as Apple did with iPhone.
You just reminded me that Apple's also a fruit. For our third and final story, Facebook, Twitter, and the rest of social media just blocked the president.
So Jack and I are looking at automation. Great for scaling, Jack. Terrible for public discourse. Not
just
awful.
Do less, Zuck. Do less.
Actually do a lot more, but we'll
actually,
get to that.
Please
in a minute.
Do a lot less. But before we jump into that wonderful mix of stories to start this week, 112-year-old General Motors wants you to know how young it is. So for the first time in like 65 years, GM got some work done.
The logo for General Motors just got updated in Detroit. They're trying to look more like they interned in San Francisco last semester.
They really didn't take any risks here. They made the classic move. They went from capital G, capital M, to lowercase g, lowercase m.
Jack, and the logo now, it used to form a square. Remember, a lot of hard edges, kind of like if you were running with scissors, you'd get cut.
It was sharp, but they wanted to soften the corners to show these millennials and Gen Zers, they're approachable.
Plus, they went from navy blue to like, a harmless skincare product blue. That's the new tone.
According to the press release, the whole goal here is to send electric vibes to reflect like the future of GM's electric cars.
Hey. It's Nick, it's Jack, it's just us. We just want to talk to you for a second. The logo, your logo, that wasn't the problem.
If you think about it, general isn't a very inspiring adjective.
Exactly. The issue was actually your name, not the logo.
General admission is the cheapest seat in the house.
Generally speaking, means speaking with no passion.
And our buddy Merriam-Webster says that general is defined as the main parts, but not the details. And it's all about the details.
General Motors, here's the solution. You should have just renamed to the General.
General. It's much stronger as a noun than it is as an adjective.
So true. Let's hit our three stories.
You're tuned in to Snacks Daily. We spoke to the lawyers and we gotta get something legal out the way. The snacks you're about to hear ain't food, it's ear candy. They don't reflect the views of the Robin Hood family. It's all informational, just so you know. We're not recommending any securities. Nope. It's not a research report or investment advice. Not an offer or sale of a security. Right. Snacks is digestible, business news for you. Robin Hood Financial, LLC, member FINRA, /SIPC.
For our first story, we were laughing out loud about this one earlier. BarkBox, the original dog subscription box.
It's going public in a $1.6 billion SPAC this year.
I think it's the only dog subscription box, but our question is this a company
or
is it just a product?
It's a fair question.
But we're going to go back to 2011. Company was founded in 2011. Jack, basically a pretty simple concept here.
It's a subscription box for your profit puppy.
Yes, it is.
Comes once a month, and now 1 million people have signed up for it.
You're dropping $23 a month. You get free shipping, 2 toys, 2 treats, and there's 1 theme every month.
The dog actually smells it. Nick's brother-in-law, they have a dog, and the dog goes crazy when the mailman like approaches the door with the bark box.
They know. They can tell. We dare you to unsubscribe to that thing.
I am definitely subscribing to this because when River doesn't have something to chew on, I feel like a terrible person.
You get that pet parent guilt, you know? You get that pet parent guilt.
But they have themed monthly boxes. For example, in October, a liquor treat arrives at your door.
Jack, how about November? You got the dog's giving themed box.
This December, the bark box was called Home Alone.
Last year, 2019, they did the Muttcracker.
Also, there's something called Bark Buddy that this company has launched. They're calling it the Tinder for dogs.
You swipe right to adopt an abandoned cockapoo. That's how it goes down. Impressive.
We think Tinder's the wrong analogy, but very good to promote dog adoption.
All right, we check out the metrics on this thing. Cancellation rates for these bark box subscription boxes, extremely low.
Your dog's puppy eyes looking up at you are something you cannot say no to.
Yeah, Jack, cuteness is a powerful anti-churn strategy.
Subscription businesses are fantastic, but running a subscription box company is complicated.
Chewy, like the sell everything dog stuff online company, they have a subscription program with a wild statistic.
The subscription program drives 70% of their sales. 70% of sales are customers that just set it and forget it and get refills every month.
And Chewy investors, they love that recurring revenue from those set it and forget it reliable customers.
But subscription companies aren't necessarily profitable.
Yeah, Birchbox makes subscription boxes. They're struggling to make a profit trying to get you to buy the
Sephora lipstick
that's in their little Birchbox.
And Blue Apron, which tried to do subscription boxes of food that you still have to cook, is basically on the McDonald's dollar menu on Wall Street.
But here's what Jack and I found fascinating about BarkBox. Out of the $365 million of revenue they brought in last year, $221 million was gross profit.
That's squeezing a whole bunch of profit juice out of those melons, Nick.
Yes, it is.
It's because they're selling their own products in these BarkBoxes.
It's their own goods. The 2-in-1 memory foam dog bed in a donut shape. Jack, the Bark Bright toothpaste.
Those are both produced and manufactured by BarkBox.
And that's how they get the big profit. So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at BarkBox?
BarkBox is neither product nor company. We think it's a future learnquisition.
All right, Jack, got the whiteboard out here. You got General Mills, you got Nestle, you got Unilever, all of those big companies, they bought up smaller dog food companies in just the last few years.
Historically, they were food companies, but they recently recognized that humans, they're kind of treating their beagles better than their babies.
We basically do. But Jack, developing a direct-to-consumer subscription business?
That is hard.
Jack, how about building a passionate audience around that subscription business?
That is really tough.
Jack, how about running that online-based subscription startup profitably?
I quit. I can't even do it.
Yeah, it's the hardest thing. And that is why Unilever acquired direct-to-consumer startup Dollar Shave Club a few years ago, because it had to learn how they did it.
Big companies haven't been able to learn themselves how to run a direct-to-consumer subscription company.
So most have to learn by buying one.
That is why BarkBox could be a future learnquisition.
For our second story, all of social media and even e-commerce are boycotting President Trump this week.
The longer term problem is that social media's automation strategy is failing.
All right, so it's been almost a week now. 5 people lost their lives in that insurrection last week, and the reputation of America's democracy was badly damaged for like a long period of time.
Also, we witnessed a double standard in the way that police treated Trump's mob last week.
Yes, we did.
Compared to the way that police treated the Black Lives Matter protesters this entire past year.
All right, so if you add all that up, this event basically became the straw that broke social media's back in a couple of days.
Tech decided all at once on Wednesday and Thursday last week that the president must be muted.
And Snackers, here is the key distinction you got to keep in mind. While lying is protected by free speech, inciting violence and endangering the public safety, that's not protected.
Nick, you know that thing you scroll through, the terms and conditions when you're setting up a new account? You just click accept, you don't even read it.
It's like a totem, it's charming, you never see it.
When it comes to a tech platform, there's actually language in there forbidding you from using the platform to promote violence.
And we saw that put into action last week with this epic rundown. First, Twitter blocked Trump's account permanently on Friday, and Facebook has blocked it for the next 2 weeks.
And Amazon blocked his Twitch account so that he could not live stream video to people.
And then PayPal and Shopify, they jumped in, blocked his ability to sell merchandise and even accept donations.
And YouTube changed their policy. Instead of simply removing single videos that break their policies, YouTube will now start blocking entire channels of Trump's.
And Jack, how about Snapchat and TikTok? They like kind of had to make moves after Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah, they decided to take away Trump's megaphone as well.
Put that all together and we got ourselves a striking demonstration of tech's power in refereeing speech and commerce on the internet.
Yeah, that's a whole different takeaway for a different day.
So Jack, what's the takeaway for today for our buddies over in tech?
Facebook's strategy of automation is failing.
Yeah, Snackers, Facebook has a whole bunch of rules about what you can and you can't post.
For example, paid political ads on Facebook, those cannot lie. And nobody can promote violence with their posts on Facebook.
All right, so when we look a little bit deeper into Facebook, they've got 56,000 employees. On the other hand, they've also got 2.7 billion users.
It's quite a ratio there. So to monitor all the posts to make sure they're not breaking rules, each Facebook employee would have to oversee the posts of 48,000 Facebook users across Instagram, Facebook, WhatsApp, and whatever other apps.
It's basically like each employee would have to have their own dominion.
Yeah, so instead of that, they use artificial intelligence, which reads the post that we make and flags the rule breakers so that a human can check them out.
But here's the thing. As was shown last week, that artificial intelligence strategy is failing.
Thanks to the New York Times, we know that Facebook groups were used to organize the attempted insurrection by Trump supporters last week.
Yeah, eventually got taken down, but only after reporters had to tell the FBI all about them.
And thanks to separate reporting from a guy named Judd Legum, who runs a great newsletter, we know that misleading political ads were up this campaign season for days, viewed by millions of people.
Just like the Facebook groups, eventually they get taken down, but only after reporters alert the FBI to them.
Here's how it seems to always go with Facebook. Artificial intelligence misses something.
Okay, check.
Someone finally flags it and lets them know.
Step two.
Then Facebook takes it down, but only after the damage has been done.
And that process is all because of automation with no human involvement. It's low cost, and that is why Facebook is incredibly, ridiculously profitable.
But it is also why the platform has so much misinformation and so much policy-breaking content still makes it.
Facebook, the automation, it's failing. For our third and final story, honestly, just in time for dry January, Bud Light is launching a hard seltzer lemonade.
It's actually a little late for dry January.
Yeah, it's a little
late. A couple weeks in.
Yeah, they are true.
But that lemonade part of the story is actually an iPhone strategy too.
Jack, feels like we kind of got a pendulum situation here. The pendulum swung from like light beers back in the day.
Yeah, Millie Five freshman year.
Yeah, we were in college. All the way to like heady quadruple IPAs, you had to like eat this. It was liquid bread.
That's the late 20s through until today for me.
Well, that got intense with beer, but then the pendulum swung back to lighter stuff, and that's where White Claw came in.
White Claw Summer. It's kind of a health trend. People want to get drunk for under 100 calories per drink and go gluten-free if possible.
Minimum sugar. And that basically is why Budweiser stock is down 13% in the last year, because beer sales only grew less than 1%.
And that's because the spike seltzer market doubled again last year for like the third year in a row.
A little context we got to sprinkle on here, Snackers. Hard seltzer growing crazy fast, but still only 4% of the beer market.
So big beer is still the big player in this market, but they don't like that tiny little wedge is growing so darn fast.
Oh, they didn't like it. So in just the last 365 days, get how many beer companies have jumped into spiked seltzer.
Molson Coors.
Check.
Corona.
Add it to the list.
Natty Light, which we didn't know could get any lighter.
No, it could, apparently. It did.
Budweiser. Also, Coca-Cola is getting into this.
And despite all of them jumping to this fun foray of spiked seltzer, still, White Claw controls over half the spiked seltzer market.
Truly controls about a third of the spiked seltzer market.
And the rest is like kind of split between a bunch of your friends and cousins who just launched some spiked seltzer startups.
Now, when Anheuser-Busch, which is Budweiser's parent company, when they first got into spiked seltzer, they launched Bud Light Strawberry and Bud Light Black Cherry spiked seltzers.
And kind of stuff that's like on the Jolly Rancher flavor spectrum. That was the goal.
But then our buddies over at Anheuser-Busch, they noticed there were fewer spiked seltzers in the lemonade flavor, but that little category was growing faster than the rest.
It was a niche within a niche. And that niche of spiked seltzer lemonade was growing 9 times more than it did the previous year.
Anheuser-Busch decided that's where we should be.
Yes.
So they're launching their first Bud Light spiked seltzer lemonade this summer, kicking it off debut style with the Super Bowl ad in February.
Go big or go home.
So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Budweiser?
It's counterintuitive, but segmentation can drive growth.
So here's what you'd think, and Jack and I were talking about this for a while. You'd think that simplifying your product offering would be better for like everyone.
It's easier for the consumer to choose if there's just one thing. It's easier for the company to make it if there's just one thing.
However, if a company has the resources to segment, then it can launch a specific product for specific types of customers.
If there is a product just for you, you are 100% satisfied. You don't have to compromise. Every customer gets exactly what they want.
Funny thing, Jack and I noticed, Apple does this exact thing when it comes to price.
It used to be one iPhone. That's your only option. $600, pretty expensive, unaffordable for many.
Now they got like a dozen iPhones starting at $400 for the SE.
But it goes all the way up to the $1,400 Ruby Crusted 12 Pro Max Plus.
Handcrafted by Tim Cook every other Tuesday.
Now, Apple used price segmentation to grab more of the smartphone market.
Bud Light is using flavor and product segmentation to grab more of the spiked seltzer market.
Jack, can you whip up the takeaways for us to start the week?
BarkBox just got acquired by a SPAC called Northern Star Acquisition Corp. Soon, that company will change their name to BarkBox.
Yeah, the box subscription business, it is tough. So they could become a Learnquisition.
Second story, social media has blocked President Trump for encouraging a mob to storm the U.S. Capitol.
But honestly, it was their failing automation strategy that was an enabler in last week's attack.
For our third and final story, Bud Light spiked seltzer lemonade peach.
It rolls off the tongue, Jack.
They're segmenting the spiked booze market, kind of like how Apple segments smartphones.
Now, time for our snack fact of the day. This one sent in by Silas Findlay from lovely Waco, Texas, where he's a fan of lovely Waco, Texas. The invention of Dr. Pepper occurred in Waco, Texas in 1885.
Yeah, it turns out Dr. Pepper preceded the invention of Coca-Cola by one single lovely year.
Impressive. There's also a Dr. Pepper museum in Waco, Texas.
Yeah, it turns out also 75% of the world's Snicker bars manufactured in Waco, Texas.
Waco! The city that feeds the world's sweets.
Waco, Jack. We don't do locale.
No, we don't.
We power Chicago.
Snackers, we love starting the week with you. If you haven't yet, you can scroll down and we'd love if you drop a 5-star review.
And if you're listening on Spotify, it's super easy to share as a story on your Instagram.
Please.
That helps us grow.
We love how that looks and we can't wait to chat with you tomorrow.
See you then.
If you know, you know.
And before we go, happy birthday to Emily and Lucy, a mom and daughter combo who happen to share the same birthday in Hood River, Oregon.
Incredible. I heard Hood River is gorgeous, especially for mountain biking.
Yeah, it's supposed to be great.
And happy birthday to Katsumi in Houston, Texas.
And Anissa in Los Angeles.
And Katrina Seagrove in South San Francisco.
I can see you from here, Katrina.
And Holly Ann Clements in Philadelphia.
And Hayden Flores in Santa Barbara.
I hope that didn't sound creepy, Anissa.
And happy name day to Hikmo in Dubai.
And Brad Thompson. Nick and I are impressed that you're kicking off your MBA down in Miami.
And Kunal Patel also kicking off the MBA up in New Jersey.
Happy anniversary to Antonio and June in Oceanside, California.
And a 2-year anniversary for Irwin and Ronalyn in Portland, Oregon.
This is Jack. I own stock of Amazon. Nick owns stock of Apple, Shopify, and Northern Star Acquisition Corp.
The Robinhood Snacks podcast you just heard reflects the opinions of only the hosts who are associated persons of Robinhood Financial LLC and does not reflect the views of Robinhood Markets Inc. or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. The podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to serve as a recommendation to buy or sell any security and is not an offer or sale of a security. The podcast is also not a research report and is not intended to serve as the basis of any investment decision. Robinhood Financial LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.
Nick and Jack here. Want to quickly tell you about the show Business Wars.
With the launch of ChatGPT, Sam Altman and OpenAI reinvigorated our imaginations and fears of a world with artificial intelligence. While the company looked like a stunning success from the outside, a battle was brewing within. Almost a year after launching ChatGPT, that battle erupted into a war when the company fired its charismatic CEO, Sam Altman.
From Wondery, Business Wars is a podcast about the biggest corporate rivalries of all time. And in the newest season, host David Brown digs into the philosophical differences within OpenAI that culminated in Sam Altman's shocking firing and what it means for the future and safety of AI in the modern world.
Follow Business Wars on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. And for more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more, Wondery means business.